You're listening to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast from Clear Creek Community Church, located in the Bay Area of Houston.
Welcome to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast. My name is Tiffany Havaducci, and I am your host for the day. I'm so excited to be sitting down with you guys today. We're in the middle of a sermon series on friendship, and so I know that you all have been friends for a really long time. And so I just wanted to pick your brain today. Let's talk about why friendship matters, the challenges, the great parts, and why it's ultimately worth the effort to have really good, godly friendship. So thank you all for joining me. Why don't we start, just introduce yourself and talk to us about how you guys met.
All right.
You can go first.
Anybody can jump in, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm Bruce Wesley. This is my wife, Susan. And we've been married for 41 years.
Good.
Yeah.
You passed the test.
That's right.
I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Lisa Carden. This is my husband.
There you go.
And we've been married for 42 years. 42 in May.
Yeah.
Y'all messed me up with your 41. I know we're longer than you guys.
Just well, and that's significant because we've known each other for 37 years and 5 months.
I thought about that before we came over here.
That's right. I did meet some math.
Yeah.
And it was really, obviously, we were very young people at that time. And we each had one child. And I'll let you tell the story about how we met.
Yeah, so Lisa and I both grew up in a church called White Oak Baptist Church on the northwest side of Houston, and I was on the pastor search team when we were looking for a pastor. And so we went to Cut and Shoot, Texas, and found this 26-year-old youth pastor named Bruce Wesley, and listened to him preach and decided we needed to offer him a job. And so we did, and January 1st, 1987, he started at White Oak Baptist Church. And you want to tell the rest of that?
Well, I didn't get to meet Bruce and Susan that fall when they were coming to visit White Oak because I think our daughter was sick a bunch. I don't know. Every time y'all were coming, I couldn't be there. So January 1st, I met them for the first time, and their anniversary just happens to be January 8th. Mm. So Mark and I kept their daughter so they could go to dinner on January 8th, and that was really the first time I met them, is when they brought me their daughter.
Yeah, so we're like, we don't know you, but here she is.
Yeah.
She'll be fine.
Moral of the story, leave your kids with children. Leave your children with strangers, is what I mean.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They become great friends.
Yes. And our daughters loved it. They played so well together. Mm-hmm. And so it
Well,
was,
kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
We do have video.
Yeah, we do have video.
That's still funny.
But it was still cute.
Yeah. You can see their personality, so.
Yeah, so did you all hit it off right away, or did you get along? Were you like best friends immediately, or how did that relationship grow?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were friends right away.
Yeah, I would say that we did hit it off really quickly. We were same age, same stage of life. That helps a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mark and Lisa were, from the beginning, partners in ministry. And so we felt that kinship in what we were doing in our work life, you know, in our ministry life. And so I think that just establishes a bond that's really strong.
Yeah, it's just this sense that, you know, there was this gift of friendship because the church I went to pastor, the church that they were part of, it was really a lot of older people in the church. And obviously we were really young people at that time. And what happened is they took us in because, you know, both of their parents, both their moms were really like second moms to us, second grandparents to our kids. And so we were kind of the orphans coming in, and they took us into their families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Really cool. So now, how do you spend time together? What does friendship look like, or how has it looked over the years? What kind of things do you do together?
Well, when we first started, you know, we've always travels really well together. And you can't always travel with just anybody.
That is so true.
That's a good
mark of friendship.
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%.
I made a list of all the different trips we've taken. It's like, I got another sheet of paper somewhere. So.
Yes, yeah. We've taken a lot of trips together, made a lot of really fun memories together. So we traveled, I mean, we would take both of their moms to watch the kids while the four of us went.
Yeah,
home.
So it's a great idea.
It makes it's a feel, great plan.
It makes me feel a little guilty now when I think about it, but
not me.
They loved it.
They did. They at least acted like they did. But I appreciated the fact that, like what Bruce said, is that their moms really were our moms and grandparents to our kids, and so we always felt like we had family, you know, because of that. And we took so many trips together. I mean, our kids' lives are marked by this relationship more than any other relationship of their growing up years. Mm-hmm. And vacations and, you know, all the big events are marked by Mark and Lisa. And we call ourselves the Carlys.
So, love it. Yeah. Sounds like a fusion of families. A pair of friendships, but really a fusion of families.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So what are some of your favorite memories that you've made? Maybe these trips or other milestones, I don't know, but what are some good memories you guys have?
I'll start. Probably my favorite vacation was we rented a 15-passenger van and went kind of touring the western part of the U.S.
Wow.
That was fun because we spent so much time in the van together with junior high and upper elementary kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, just those kids keep you cracking up.
Yes.
And, you know, they do some gross stuff and they do some funny stuff. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We made them pack everything in essentially a shoebox for 2 weeks' time, which meant that Lisa and I did a lot of laundry.
We did. We found a lot of laundromats, all the laundromats on our trip. We knew where they were. That's
right. Yeah, I think the evaluation of the vacation was, we're not doing that again. Yeah. Spent too much time at the laundromat.
As you were describing it, I was like, is that a vacation? I don't know.
It was fun.
But we have to be honest. When we went to the laundromat, they had all the kids. And it was just Susan and I. And it was like,
there was a trade-off. Okay.
Yeah,
that's right. We got peace.
Yes, that sounds fair.
Yes.
When you talk about, you know, what we've done together, though, it's seasonal, mm-hmm. and I think that's a key word that we probably need to visit in different on different topics here. But like we started out, we played a lot of basketball, we played a lot of golf together. You know, was it one or two nights a week that we played basketball?
Two nights a week.
Yeah, and. You know, so Mark would come from work and, you know, we would see each other doing that and just something that we really enjoyed. And then we did kids and life and church, and that's what I remember anyway in the early days.
Yep. Lisa's a good friend in that she just readily shared her life with me early on. Mm-hmm. And not having sisters or not having family close by, I just always learned a lot from her about just how to be a mom, how to be a parent, and so
I think we learned from each other.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. She was my person, I tell mm-hmm. people, because, you know, Mark worked downtown or out of town, and so during the day, you know, she was my person when things happened, like when your 2.5-year-old decides to paint your baby with waterproof mascara and you don't have any makeup remover and he's got all these black all over him. And I mean, she came in and we met at Target and we got it done.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was my person for that and for many other things. So
when I talk to young moms a lot, I'll say, you need to get yourself a Lisa. So
mm-hmm. her Susan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So confirmation, it was mutual.
It was. Yes. It was. Yes.
You know, two other quick, Lisa and I lived two other places away from the Wesleys. Mm. We lived in Connecticut for 2 years, and we lived in Louisiana for 2 years. And both times they came, while we lived there, they came up or across and visited us. And we did all kind of stuff. You know, went to the Christmas Spectacular at Radio City Music Hall and when they came up to see us in Connecticut, and went to Disney World when they came to see us in New Orleans. And it was just, again, great memories, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like as you went other places too, the friendship remained, right? So it must have been a great connection for that to stay. Because sometimes distance makes it hard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's easier to be friends whenever you're in close proximity to them. Mm-hmm. And also, your kids are the same age-ish, right?
Yes.
So that's another thing that's helpful too, is you get to sort of enjoy double the milestones, right?
Yes.
All of those important events multiplied. So
absolutely.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. What is the easiest part about your friendship, would you say?
I trust them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mm. I wrote eating. I mean, celebrating one another. You know, because you know, as I said, you know, friendships have seasons, and like at the age we're at now, we all have lots of grandkids and lots of kids, and so our lives are really busy doing other things as well. But it's the celebration kind of stuff that brings us back together, whether it's a birthday or, you know, a holiday season or whatever. And so we eat together and we celebrate one another at those times. And so that's where the rhythms get established at this season, whereas before it was a whole lot more on hands together as we were trying to navigate life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else that makes it easy?
I think it's the same thing that made us almost instant friends. There was just a connection, and the connection hasn't changed. You know, it's like we just truly like each other. So, you know that, get along, think of the same thing. Yeah. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the flip side of that, I know that for sure, as seasons change and stages of life change, friendship can also be tough. So what challenges have you run into? Maybe as those of us that are in the middle of some seasons that you have been in previously, what can we do as these challenges come up in our friendships, would you say? Or what are the challenges, and then how do we how do we get through those?
Yeah, I think Bruce mentioned about seasons. I think as we came down here and became part of the church, as the church grew and as our kids grew, the seasons changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like Bruce alluded to, now really our relationship is more around eating. We go to dinner and work.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was, we were doing everything. We were doing life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
But just staying connected is how you keep that going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine that, I mean, I didn't really think about this until now, but that's true that all four of you work together too, right? So that could be a challenge in itself. I work with my family, a lot of different family members, so I imagine how that could be a challenge, but it sounds like you've used that to bring you closer, right? So any other challenges? Or has working together ever been a challenge?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't mean that in a big way. I just mean, I think, you know, long-term friendships require you forgive each other. You know, you just have, we don't always have good days, right? And so there are times where we have to acknowledge that and forgive and be forgiven and continue to lean in, you know, during certain seasons.
Mm-hmm. You're never sorry you did, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. And I think being intentional because, you know, as the seasons changed, I think if you're not intentional to do the dinners or whatever you can, then you go long stretches of time without having seen each other. And so even though we all work together, the church is so big and there's all these campuses. And so back in the day, we knew we would see them almost every day. Yeah. And now we can go weeks or, you know, Mark and Bruce probably don't, but you know, for Susan and I, and for us four to get together, we can go a long stretch of time if we're not intentional about, okay, let's make time for dinner, let's whatever. So,
And truth is, Mark and I do work together, but they don't work together, and we don't work with them. I mean, you know, closely, that we get to see them periodically at work. Like a day like today, we had an event here at the church, and you know, we get to see most everybody, but. In general, we don't work real closely together, all four of us, but Mark and I do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has there been any challenges, like as you've, I guess, as these seasons have changed, even with your kids or with like the busyness of schedules? I'm thinking about my life and how I'm a part-time chauffeur, to be honest, right? Yeah. So whenever your schedules are super, super busy, what does that look like? How do you make sure that you do stay connected whenever everybody's going four different directions or multiplied by each kid's thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You mean like when, at that stage mm-hmm. when you're, yeah. I mean, it, you know, Lisa said the right word. It's intentional. And, you know, I think, I know busyness is all relative and everybody's busy, but you make time for things you really care about. You really do. And so you just have to, if you want good friendships, you have to make time for that. And you have to decide, I'm going to say no to something else so I can say yes to this. And that's just the nature of every decision we make.
I think good friends, they know how to serve. Mark and Lisa both know how to serve people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I grew up with a real great understanding of how friendship works, but I feel like I've experienced their continue to lean in and serve, and that's part of showing up, right? So when you feel seen, people know what's going on in your life, and they show up for whatever, then there's a reconnection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for both Lisa and I, what Bruce and Susan did for us as 28 and 26-year-olds when we met was they really – Bruce was like a brother that I never had, mm-hmm. which was cool because I never had a brother. Mm-hmm. But they also taught us what does walking with Jesus really look like, and what does that mean, and what do followers of Jesus do? What do they believe? What do they? How do they live? And so we got to experience that with them. Whereas before, as Bruce referred to White Oak Baptist Church, it was an old church. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of old people there. Well, they didn't teach us how to do that. Mm-hmm. We didn't walk with them to see how to do that. So that was a huge part of our early friendship, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good segue into my next question, actually, so thank you. How would you say that this friendship has affected your faith? How has it impacted your faith? Because that sounds like the thing that has been in common since day one,
yes.
Right? So how has that impacted each of your own personal faith and together, too?
Yeah. I jumped ahead, so y'all can go
ahead.
You
did. And you said all the things I was going to say, yeah. So yeah. I really didn't know what it meant to follow Jesus, I don't think. I mean, I was a follower of Jesus, but I wasn't, there was nothing like a personal, no personal rhythms or just leaning in yourself. It was all, you know, we went to church and we served and, you know, we did all those things. So that's the part I learned from them that I had never known before. Mm-hmm. And that's just continued to grow. And so I just am so thankful for them and that, you know, God blessed us with them coming into our life, you know, for that. So
Lisa said something last night as we were thinking about this. She said, good friends are a grace from God.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. That is absolutely true.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I think friendship inspires in a way that, you know, we don't wake up every day with all the energy to be the person even we want to be. But when we have people in our life who share our values and share our faith, they kind of carry us along. And that's what I mean by inspires. You know, they breathe wind into our sails just by they are walking with Jesus. Mark and Lisa both are very faithful people, right? Yes. I mean, they stay faithful to their commitments, and that's been really good for us,
yes,
to have, you know, that kind of steadiness in our life. And in that sense, the friendship helps build a faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite friendships in the Bible is David and Jonathan, right? Mm. That's what you four are reminding me of right now. It's like, hey, we're going to get through this one day at a time, no matter what. So I love that. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I would love for each of you to answer this question. What advice would you have for people who would like this kind of deep friendship, especially with other believers, right? Especially, I think, the younger you are, the easier it is to make friends, right? Especially think about like our students who are in close proximity, yeah, to people who have so much in common with them every day. And I think whenever you reach adulthood, it's a little bit jarring to go like, oh, wait, how did I do this again? Like, how do I make friends? Mm-hmm. So as people who are now adults and desire this kind of friendship, what advice do each of you have for them?
Who wants to go first?
Oh, I will. I think one of the things I think about when you say that, and it is true of our friendship, we started when our kids were really, really little. And sometimes when I'm around moms of littles, it's real easy to get so consumed with all the stuff you're doing and you just don't take the time or you don't reach out or you don't take that moment. And so I would say, you know, value it. And so take that moment to say hi to somebody, you know, and not just be so in your routine that you don't take that moment to try to get to know somebody, you know. And I would say another thing is pray for that friendship, yeah, because I do think it is a grace from God. And I think, you know, you can pray for, you know, that he would just open your eyes or give you the wisdom or give you the urging to, you know, talk to somebody that, you know, could be your friend.
I think don't be afraid to let people into your life, mm-hmm, you know, just to be, don't wait for the perfect moment for all of those things to happen. One of the things, you know, a memory, I don't know why, as I've been thinking about this week, is when Bruce's mom was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, I'm home by myself, and it's an emotional time. And I think Mark was out of town, and she was like, just come over with the kids. And so we had a big sleepover at her house, you know. And it was like, but it meant so much to me because she served me in that time. And she reached out in a time that, you know, I'm sure it wasn't convenient to have me and all my three children, you know. So anyway, so.
I think we have to always keep inviting people into our lives, you know. And I wish I'd gone first because I'm saying the same thing you did. But the but the part of that I think is important is just to be brave, take the risk, reach out, invite, because we, you know, we all play this game in our head about how we think we know how this person's going to respond to us, or we think that we know how they feel about us because of some look on their face the last time we saw them or something like that. When, you know, the fact is everybody wants to know and be known. Mm-hmm. And so it is, it's probably a pretty good risk to take to invite people in to know you, to see you. And, you know, when I say invite people in, I think that once, you know, we're together, you got to see them and you know, reflect what you see so that people feel known. You know, we don't feel known until somebody tells us about ourselves, and then we say, oh, you know me, mm-hmm, you know, and that's a really satisfying thing. But I think we've got to just keep inviting people into our life. You know, I'll say my age, y'all can, you know, say this for you.
They can't confirm or deny it.
Can't confirm or deny. But at my age, there's a temptation to, in the evenings, you know, I'm tired, or I'm just, you know, don't want to add something else to my life. And yet you look around one day and you think, I don't want to do this life alone. And guess what? We will do this life alone unless we start, you know, taking some initiative to invite people into our life.
Yeah, for me, it's words, certain words I think of when I think of what advice would I give somebody else. Care, serve. We used the word earlier, be intentional. Mm-hmm. Make an investment. All those come to my mind of if you want friends, what do you have to do? Be generous. Mm-hmm. All those things are really required. Mm-hmm. To have really good friends.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice times four. You guys are very wise. Really good. Well, is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with regarding friendship? Any last thoughts? And it's okay if there's not, but anything you want to add?
Well, building a friendship, people say, well, when should you start doing that? You know, it's kind of like planting a tree yesterday, which means do it now. You know, just decide. I'm going to lean in, do the invitation, take the risks, serve people, as Mark said, you know, be intentional about that. That's what I would leave people with.
Mm-hmm. What he said.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yep. Love it.
Plan a church together.
There you go. That's it.
I love it.
That's
a great idea. Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, we could talk for days on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that felt like really an intentional statement. Awesome. Really good. Well, thank all four of you for sitting down and talking with us. I've already learned a lot in our short conversation. I'm going to, this week, whenever we do greet and seats, I'm going to maybe throw in a coffee invitation.
There you go.
You know, we start there.
Yeah.
It sounds like the things that, sort of the things that feel really regular every day, we maybe shouldn't take those for granted because those become really precious memories and and grow together. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me. I really appreciate it. And I think this conversation is really helpful for our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this conversation was helpful. If you want to watch a video of this podcast or share it with a friend, you can find it at clearcreekresources.org, where you can also find articles, music, and a lot more. Again, thanks for joining the Clear Creek Resources podcast. See you next time.